gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What have I told you? Don't show me cute animals doing things on the interwebs right before I go on air. What the hell's a loris?
It looks like a monkey of some
loris
sort.
Loris is the common name for the Strepsirrhinae primates of the subfamily Lorisinae and family Lorisidae.
Thank you.
It's eating a rice ball, and it looks confused about it. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm going to post that on your Facebook. That is adorbs. Oh, my God.
It looks like a lemur or something. I don't know what it is.
They look perpetually surprised.
Yeah. And it's a little ball. Sad. And a little sad.
Every single bite, it seems surprised all over again.
Ooh. What?
Don't
no
you,
gravy?
Don't you wish you could enjoy food like that again? It's still a rice ball. It's a rice ball again. Maybe it's not the brightest of the primate species.
Oh,
maybe
look, it's a rice ball.
Oh, I have a rice ball. Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Chris. We'll post that up on our Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. Okay.
There's something called the Bengal slow loris. This might be one of the slow ones.
Oh, it's a rice ball.
Tell them about the rabbits again. Okay. All right.
Tell them about the rice balls, George.
It is now posted up on your Facebook page.
Okay. All right.
It's called slow loris eating a rice ball.
What was I just saying? Oh, I believe I had that very expression on my face when I first heard about the box office numbers from Chicago for Sexy Liberal. Did you see that segue? I did, right? I went,
yeah.
What?
Ooh.
What? We just went on sale Friday, and it's on its way to a sellout. Chicago Theater, April 13th. Go! Get it! Ticketmaster, SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. All right, time for our good friend who's incredibly frisch. I don't know what he looks like eating a rice ball, but I bet it's adorable.
He might look like a loris.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Hello, Carl. You're already feeding Dexter a rice ball, aren't you? Yes. Baby loris. Yep, well, there's going to be a song.
It's going to be as big of a hit.
There's going to be a song on the interwebs as we speak. All right. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. It is a beautiful day in America.
Why?
Because Dick Morris is out of a job.
I know. That's
Who could have seen that coming?
He's so eerily accurate.
I mean, it was 20 years ago that putting somebody else's foot in his mouth got him in trouble.
Yeah.
And now, finally,
you wrote that. You wrote that in advance, Carl Frisch. You scamp.
What would never make you think such a thing?
You came prepared with a little comedy offer.
20 years ago today.
Like a little comedy rice ball you offered
Sergeant
me.
Morris.
What? You could tell the difference between my delivery of the rice bowl humor and the Dick Morris joke? One being more prepared than the other?
Yes, exactly. The other one a little spongy, like a rice ball. Now, I was saying, by the way, that this was the breaking news at the top of the hour. I officially can never be Secretary of Defense because they're holding up the Hagel nomination for, among other things. Oh, I love this. Awaiting results of a 2007 sexual harassment claim against a former member of Hagel's staff by another member of his staff. No indication Hagel was involved.
So why?
Well, they're very troubled by it, Jim. They're troubled. That's very troubling. They need
some
more information.
Very troubling that he was in the vicinity of things that were not his fault.
Right. Whereas Carl, pretty much sexually harass everyone in this show every day. So I.
Can you imagine if they brought all those people from the Itchy Kitty up to testify if they all got subpoenaed?
Right? Just
first
rent
all,
a bus from Reseda.
I was blinded by a ping pong ball.
If they heard the word subpoena, they'd probably be like, now how many songs is that?
Just the party tricks I did this last Saturday with ping pong balls. That alone, some workman's comp.
I think even Carl Frisch has gotten caught in that shrapnel.
Yeah, I'll say.
Washington. I mean, in fairness, we're talking about an actual ping pong table, just so people know at home.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to try it with rice balls this weekend.
They're not that solid, I don't think.
No.
They might be a little messy. I'll put
Jim has tried.
I'll put down tarp. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world before this gets even more bizarre. All right, here we go. Bill O'Reilly, on Ted Nugent, who, you know, the reason voice in the gun debate.
Uh-huh. Now, last night it was interesting to hear conservative rock guy Ted Nugent really level a CNN commentator.
Oh,
please. Now, that kind of straight talk is what the Republican Party needs.
Really?
It should lay out its vision, as Governor Jindal suggested, but it should also aggressively counterattack liberal politics that are devoid of solution.
So he's the reasonable voice that's left in the Republican Party, Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
Surely Bill O'Reilly must have met Ted Nugent in the hallway when he's leaving Sean Hannity's studio at some point or another. I mean, this is a guy who said that Hillary Clinton needed to sit on his machine gun.
Yes.
Basically making threats against Hillary and against Feinstein and Boxer and against Barack Obama.
If I can make a small correction, I believe he said suck on. If I can make a correction.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. I apologize. I mean, it's not often that you hear crazy gun nuts like Ted Nugent use phallus humor or phallus lines when talking about their guns.
Yes. Okay. Those are things that go off in their hands. Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
Have you heard our good buddy Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, has told the editor-in-chief of an Egyptian newspaper that Iran is now a nuclear state? You note that Ahmadinejad waited until Hillary left before he announced this. I mean, he's heard about her lockbox, a testicle lockbox. So he waits for Hillary to split to make this announcement.
Oh, I see. Hillary took all the balls with him and the president.
He can't even wait for her to, like, announce for the presidency before they go. He goes back to, like, his 90s humor.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't funny then.
Yeah.
It wasn't funny then. And, yeah, I believe Ahmadinejad, just like I believe they sent a monkey into space and then came back with, like, you know, a makeover.
Came back a Loris.
I was just going to say, he's a slow Loris. Okay.
I mean, at this point, the people of Iran must think that when you send a monkey into space, it comes back as any random animal, like it's some kind of space-time continuum changing reality.
Exactly. All right. Steve Doocy on the Fox and Friends.
Is this the face of presidential ambition? Days after retiring as Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, somebody has launched a new website for her showing off this glamorous new face. Facelift, perhaps? Well, that's fueling rumors about a run for president in 2016, but her aides say it's simply a way for fans, the media, to reach her.
Are you saying she's had a facelift since she was on TV 3 days ago? Is that what he's implying?
Yeah.
It takes a while to recover.
You do realize that politicians are completely incapable of looking better in a posed photo
than
sitting at a table.
Listening to stupid questions from Rand Paul.
Halls of Congress.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Rand Paul's enough to make anybody look better in a photo.
Exactly. And by the way, she's wearing the glasses because of the head injury, obviously.
Concussion.
And, was Gretchen Carlson even sitting there when he made this comment?
Yeah.
I mean, I am so sick and tired of her letting these guys make these sexist comments.
I know. Well, like you say, it's open season on Hillary before she's even announced,
Well, here's the question. So we now know that over the last 4 years, and it'll be eight by the time Hillary runs, that they've come up with ways to do their racist dog whistles. Is there a way for them to pull the sexism card in the same fashion? Can they get around saying, I mean, you know, the big thing at Fox News is to say Obama's not like us. I mean, are they just going to say Hillary's not like us down there?
All right.
Turkey?
Dick Morris. Oh. On Piers Morgan?
Yeah.
Oh. Aw, isn't he cute?
Well, I had a wonderful talk with Roger Ailes, who I really respect, a week ago.
You're
fired.
And he
said, in this business, you're up, you're down, nothing is final or fatal.
But why are you down now, as far as
that
goes?
I was wrong, and I was wrong at the top of my lungs.
They fired you because you were wrong. But a lot of people on Fox were calling it wrong. Why you? Why have you been singled out?
I know. Why don't you invite them and ask?
But do you know the answer?
No, I don't. I don't. I think that I was wrong at the top of my lungs. Maybe I'm being made a poster child for that.
Well, the top of his lungs, Jim, because he's winded by a run-on sentence.
I'm surprised you played that clip. Uh-oh. I mean, there was the clip that was kind of news-breaking. I'm surprised you didn't play that. I happen to have it if you don't mind me playing it.
Oh, sure.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Piers, I've got breaking news. Tag Romney has been elected to the U.S. Senate from Massachusetts. You heard it here first. DickMorris.com.org.net.
Jim, I start sweating over there. He's doing impressions and prepared comedy bits. Okay, Michelle Malkin on Hannity.
Out here in the real world, the effects of Obamacare, including the medical device tax that is cutting R&D and causing layoffs across the country in the most innovative firms. The fact that so many people who were intending to go into medicine are no longer going into medicine. Brain drain, a big consequence now of Obamacare. And the fact that so many small businesses, doctors who were individual practitioners, are either bailing and retiring altogether or going into concierge care. Have you heard that term? Do you know the trends now of people who are shutting down their practice as they used to be constituted, dropping insurance altogether, where now only the wealthiest can pay for care? Congratulations, Obamacare. Heck of a job.
What the hell is she talking about?
First of all, that's Michelle Malkin talking about brain drain on Fox.
Yeah. Exactly.
Secondly,
when I think
there's no more doctors.
I think of brain drain. Yeah. No, it's going to be hysterical from this point forward when we talk about Obamacare because it's so close. October of this year, you will be able to enroll for Obamacare. And at that singular point, the moment the first applications come in, collectively the right-wing head will explode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Did she need a colonoscopy to pull that out of her ass?
We have to have Jackie Schechter on after the break just to dissect that piece by piece. Okay. And we finish with Bill O'Reilly.
Many Americans simply are disrespectful. They feel they can do whatever they want to do. And Misoto is a good example of that. Disrespects everyone. On the net, troubled people say the most horrendous things, hiding behind their machines. On television, reality program, off the chart, irresponsible. Shows like Jersey Shore and this idiot thing in West Virginia debase our culture all day long.
See, only Bill O'Reilly can talk about being respectful and polite.
I mean, the only thing he must watch is his teleprompter there. I mean, to say the things that he's said, to hear the things that other people at Fox News have said, and then to blame it on the rest of culture without having any sort of introspection. I've often thought, you know, if you likened Fox News to professional wrestling, professional wrestling's ratings went through the roof when they pulled the third wall down and admitted that wrestling was fake. So why doesn't Fox News just allow some liberals on there to point out when Fox News is being a jackass and point out when they're wrong and point out when they're just spewing baloney and call Fox News out for what it is.
Carl,
and you'd have a lot of liberals watch just for the hell of seeing a schadenfreude.
In fairness, I have to say, who better than Bill O'Reilly to talk about rudeness?
You pinhead!
Ideological zombie, loony ideologues, cowards, gutter snipes, charlatans, and jerk. I just think he's a weasel. You're a paranoid crazy. You're either a moron or a liar. He's a corrupt midget.
Loofah, shower, threesome.
Thank you very much. Carl Frisch, you remain a delight. Go buy some rice balls for Dexter, please.
I plan on it. He's looking at me like he wants them now.
All right. Love you. See you next week.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye, honey. 18 minutes after the hour.
Jackie will be calling in right after
this. Thank you. I don't know why. I pictured her head exploding in her news center.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over the whole, that was like a, you know what, it was like a healthcare nonsense rice ball.
It was.
A tightly packed ball of nonsense.
You didn't see the part where the Loris holds a fork.
It's so cute.
Oh, yeah.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If your radio sounds funny, don't touch that dial. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I went to see the doctor today.
I see what you did there. Yep. Okay. 24 minutes after the hour, someone on my Facebook page said to Slow Loris. Yes. Has the same expression on his face as Republicans on election night.
Exactly.
Looks just like Paul Ryan.
Have a rice ball.
And some of them with a fork in their hands.
Here, have a rice ball, Eddie Munster. Oh, no. All right, let's talk to Jackie. All right, I could tell you we're having a little, like, a spasm in the current news center when you heard this soundbite. Hello, Jackie Schechter.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
You didn't say hello.
Oh, hello.
I was waiting for my cue.
Hello, Jackie Schechter.
Hello.
Okay. All right.
You can't take me for granted.
No, I said hello. You must have not I must have been pushing the button.
Oh, I'm not going to be ignored.
Fine. All right. All right. Let's unpack this rice ball of healthcare nonsense from Michelle Malkin. Are you ready? Here we go.
Out here in the real world, the effects of Obamacare, including the medical device tax that is cutting R&D and causing layoffs across the country in the most innovative firms, the fact that so many people who were intending to go into medicine are no longer going into medicine. Oh. Thank you, brain drain, a big consequence now of Obamacare. And the fact that so many small businesses, doctors who were individual practitioners, are either bailing and retiring altogether or going into concierge care. Have you heard that term? Do you know the trends now of people who are shutting down their practices as they used to be constituted, dropping insurance altogether, where now only the wealthiest can pay for care? Congratulations, Obamacare. Heck of a job.
Boy, she would know about brain drain.
Yeah.
Michelle Malkin is a senior fellow at Fantasy Think Tank.
Exactly.
I have no idea where she gets this stuff other than just making it up out of her own mind.
Right. Apparently there are no more doctors, so that's...
No, there are no more doctors, and the tax on medical devices is thwarting research and development.
Right.
And somehow people aren't going to medical school anymore. No. And doctors are retiring early. And
dogs and cats sleeping together.
There's a mass exodus of medical care in this
country. Wow, fearmonger much? Wow. That was a tightly packed ball of nonsense, wasn't it?
Yeah, I will say the same thing that I say when people ask me questions on Twitter. Give me some confirmation. Give me some proof. Give me some evidence. That, you know, if your insurance company says X, Y, and Z, show me the letter they sent you that makes the tie between whatever it is they say that healthcare reform is causing. Because
right.
A lot of times people just say stuff, like Michelle Malkin just says stuff, and there's no evidence to back it up.
They think it's like when a vowel is silent. It's just understood that it's because of President Obama.
Yeah, it's like a schwa.
I'd like to see the extensive research that
it's
she
like
did.
It's like a schwa.
Yeah. Where's the extensive research she did to back up any of those assertions?
Yeah, yeah. So, but this
How
is
about
gonna,
any research?
This is going to get worse, as Carl said, right? Obviously, Obamacare really starts to kick in full. They're going to, it's getting to a fever pitch.
Yeah, well, it's a mass panic. Oh, my God, once it's implemented, people are going to like it, and then we're going to have a real problem.
Yeah, and fortunately, the Republican Party's in such good shape. So
yeah, it's going to further
they can withstand that.
Yeah, it'll further deteriorate the brand, and that's what they're most worried about, because there's actually going to be, look, the Affordable Care Act isn't perfect, and I will be the first one to admit that. There are problems with it, and we know that. But you're not going to get wholesale health care reform that's going to be perfect in one fell swoop. It's
right.
not going to happen. We've been trying. Presidents have been trying for years and years and years to get Congress to address health care reform. President Obama finally got something through. It's not ideal, but it's a good start. It's a foot in the door. It cracks open the door to make better changes, more changes, and better in improvements down
right.
the line. Right?
Right.
I mean, we've made a good first step. So I don't think anybody is being realistic if they defend it wholesale. I also don't think they're being realistic if they reject it wholesale. I think we need to look at it and say, okay, there are some good things with it, and there are some things that can be improved.
That's but, why we love you, because you are fair and balanced.
I try to be.
Our little...
I mean, look, I'm passionate about making sure that everybody in this country has access to affordable health care and not access to affordable health insurance. There's a big difference.
Yep, absolutely.
But, I think there are some mistakes that we made along the way in trying to get this passed, and I think those are some things within the nature of the way our government works that you can't overcome.
Right. Well, we can have nice things, and it's because of Jackie Schechner. Thank you, little health care geek.
Oh,
please.
You're welcome.
See,
if you
All
don't
right.
stop me, I keep going.
I know. I'm wound her up again. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happens and there's nothing you can do about it. For example,
Stephanie Miller
hasn't talked to me since the 11th grade because no matter how much you apologize, you can't go back and undry hump someone's boyfriend.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, I found the story Bill O'Reilly was talking about, you know, disrespect in society.
Oh,
people
okay.
are as polite as he is.
Yeah.
Mm.
F&A.
It was this one. A Miami woman was jailed on contempt charges after flipping off a judge during a drug possession
yes.
hearing.
Yes.
Yeah. And as a, you know, career criminal, you remember, I was just in court.
You were.
I was in criminal court Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
For my dog off a leash ticket.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I understand the impulse because I wanted to start yelling at Attica, flip him off, but I didn't.
Did you see the video,
I paid my fine and I left.
Did you see the video of the girl?
No.
The look on her face when the judge said, okay, 30 days in jail, the look on her face was priceless.
Did it look like the slow...
It looked like a slow Loris.
Eating a rice ball?
Eating a rice ball, yep.
Spectacular. Ah, yeah, that was fun. Oh, and I told you I sat there for an hour watching other cases, and I went up to the bailiff. I'm like, why? How come my case? He's like, because you're holding the piece of paper you're supposed to put in the basket. It puts the paper in the basket. It puts the lotion back on its arms.
But did anybody tell you to put the paper in the basket?
I was like, all right, Rusty, the bailiff, just call my case. I got to do. Jesus.
They love it when you call them Rusty the bailiff. You know that, right?
Yes. And then I got up and the judge is older than, you know,
Judge
the
Walker.
Cast of Cocoon's grandparents.
Yeah.
And he was like shuffling. He's like, so you...
Sure, you did what now?
Tried to ride the train without paying for a ticket? I'm like... No, there's trains.
Right.
Number one, there's trains in L.A. Number
one.
You
tried to get into Wally World without a ticket.
I told the whole story, and everybody in the courtroom, recognized me and started waving and asking for autographs and pictures.
Oh boy!
And he didn't have any idea, which confused him even more. He had no idea who I was because he was born several decades before Marconi even invented radio.
What, the Sam Hill?
He thought you were Lindsay Lohan.
Get back in my court, young lady. Anyway, yeah, but I'm just saying I understand the impulse. But I didn't. I was like, just hold my finger down. Let's go to Gloria in Memphis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Gloria.
Oh, good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I just love you all. I'm just up and wrapped about your show this morning.
Thank you.
I want to talk about Michelle Malkin. You know, she has the most annoying face. You know, it just looked like somebody just balled her face up and just gave her a real big pinch. You know, she's just so annoying.
Well, at least you're keeping this all intellectual, all right?
I want to make a statement about that crap she said about doctors shutting down their businesses.
Yes.
That's a blatant lie.
Yep.
Yes.
Contrary to her statement, you know, because of Obamacare, you know, I personally know of some physicians who can now accept, I live in Tennessee, unfortunately, and these physicians can now accept Tencare, where they previously did not. And, one in particular has a high-volume OBGYN practice, and she did not accept Tencare, but now that Obamacare is about to kick in, she's accepting, some form of Tencare. So that's a plus. I don't know where Michelle Malkin is getting her, quote-unquote, facts from.
Yeah, well, I think Jim explained where during a colonoscopy. All right.
Someone on your Facebook page just said, "Dear Michelle Malkin, your colon is not a fact checker, no matter how many of your ignorant statements you pull out of your ass."
Let's go to Albert in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Albert.
Good morning, Mama and Mook.
Good morning.
I want to say also, don't listen to the Republicans about Obamacare. I am living proof that Obamacare is already here and it works. When I retired, I could not get insurance because I had coronary artery disease, pre-existing condition, and I could not get insurance. But after waiting 6 months without insurance, I got on the newly instituted pre-existing condition insurance plan, and now I won't get wiped out, become bankrupt if I have a big medical problem because I have insurance thanks to Obamacare.
You socialist. You say that like it's a good thing.
Exactly. You know what you have now? You have a $50 Profiler gift card. How about that? You get flowers just for getting better. Hang on, okay? Albert.
Did we lose them already?
Albert. All right, hang on. If you're looking for flowers this Valentine's Day, go to proflowers.com, click on that there microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and type in Stephanie.
Yeah.
It's almost Valentine's Day. Get with it.
It's next week, isn't it?
Right.
Ooh.
How would I know?
Yep.
What difference would it make to me? Okay, Bill and Madison, this moment of self-pity brought to you by Proflowers. I have Proflowers in my kitchen. You know who sent them to me?
Who?
Proflowers.
Oh, they love you.
Pretty much sums up my life. Everyone always comes to me, who sent you flowers? I'm like, Proflowers.
Yeah.
They're my only love. Hi, Bill and Madison. How are you?
Did Sherry send you some berries at least? Okay, good.
Sherry loves me.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill and Madison.
Hey, Steph. You had a caller yesterday who said he was a Vietnam vet, and he said that he wished that he had drones when he was in Vietnam.
Right.
And it's really hard not to feel sympathy for that. But Vietnam was a strategic mistake.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was just going to say, someone else did write me, and I understand his point too, but someone else wrote me and said, here's what I wish. I wish we didn't go into Vietnam. I don't wish we had drones. I wish we didn't.
Our Middle East policy is a strategic mistake. We can't be 4% of the population of the world and use 50% of the oil and prop up the most horrible, heinous people in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and expect drones to bail us out. We have to have a Marshall Plan here to get us off of that poison that's actually killing us anyway. And drones aren't going to. That's not the magic bullet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I hear you. But I think that Barack Obama has been trying to get us out of George Bush's foreign policy mistakes and is doing
right.
So. I get your point. Let's go to Brad in Dallas. Hi, Brad.
Hey.
Hey, go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so I work in healthcare in Dallas, and I heard a story. Now, this is about 5 years ago. A suburban doctor was going to have to close his practice because his patients were aging. More of them were getting on Medicare, and he was finding that he couldn't make ends meet. He couldn't make a profit in his practice anymore. And so, as usual, what the Republicans are doing is taking something that was happening anyway and drawing a line to something the administration
right. did. Making it Obama's
fault. Before,
right.
Yeah, but this happened before ACA was even voted on. So it's something that is going on in some places.
Well, right, and part of it, Brad, we've talked about before, some of the insurance companies are obviously racing to raise their rates before Obamacare kicks in, and then, you know, obviously people are going, oh, it's Obamacare, see what happens? You know,
yeah.
And that's like blame the culprit, which is the insurance companies, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yep, absolutely. All right, thank you. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you saw some other cute animal.
No.
Okay.
No.
Ben in Massachusetts, you're on the
show. I'm monitoring your social media.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Ben, how's that going for me?
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Ben. Go ahead.
Thanks. I really love your show. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment about the drone strikes. It's just as I'm hearing the news about them, you know, now justifying killing U.S. citizens outside of the country, to me it feels very much like a slippery slope. It makes me wonder how long it'll be before they decide they can kill U.S. citizens inside of the country. And then
your dog is already alarmed about it, apparently.
Yes, yeah, she is very much so. You know, and then I wonder, you know, also to then will they start lessening the severity under which they can kill civilians in the U.S. and all the other pieces that go with that. You know, it really makes me kind of nervous.
Mm-hmm. The president, obviously that was the latest news, right, Chris, is he's going to release, they are releasing these whole memos.
Yep.
You know, actually, I heard something Joe Scarborough said this morning that sounded interesting, but he talked about them, that it troubles him, and that, you know, he feels he was consistent because he did say it during the Bush years, too, but like a FISA court, that they should have to go to at least a FISA court.
Oh, okay.
Interesting idea.
Yeah, that is an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Is that what that's for?
Well, George Bush had, remember that was the whole, that there's some sort of oversight or whatever. So, interesting. Craig writes, let me see here. Everybody's got a very, you know, unique point of view on this. This is like the guy yesterday was a Vietnam vet. Craig says, Steph, la 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 la, love me, love me. Okay. for those of you who have never been in war, or in the military for that matter, sometimes have a sanitized view of combat. I just retired after 27 years in the Army. I'm currently in Kandahar, Afghanistan, working for the military as a civilian. What you guys don't seem to realize is that every time a drone goes up with a package, that saves soldiers' lives. We deal with rocket attacks on a consistent basis. These attacks are not only reduced by the use of drones. Whenever a drone takes out a target, that saves soldiers from having to pursue insurgents through IED-laden roads and mountains. War is not pretty, and it's time Americans stop thinking that it can be conducted in a perfect, pristine manner. Yes, and as people do get caught up in the collateral damage on both sides, we see insurgents using children and women as shields, and we take every measure to avoid harming them. That's why we allow them to position rockets that are targeted toward American soldiers, because they do it under the coverage of women and children. We then go out and dismantle or destroy these devices only after they've been fired. The U.S. has lost many civilian contractors and GS workers, so forgive me, but I support the use of drones because I've seen what RPG and IED can do to a human body. You've never had to deal with recovering a vehicle that contains the remains of U.S. soldiers burned alive inside. Now we can debate the merits of war all day. However, that's for politicians. The soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and civilians over here have to survive with the tools at their disposal. And if we have a tool that saves our soldiers' lives, then we use it. This is the third world, and it's still a war zone. If you don't believe me, you're more than welcome to come for a visit. Craig, I think I'll pass on that.
Hmm.
I
hear Kandahar's lovely this time of year.
Yeah, has some great skiing. The après ski is awesome.
Listen, I'm all for
no
women.
Hot toddies in the
no.
lodge.
I'm all for women in combat, but not me.
Yeah.
I'm too much of a coward. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Now you tell me. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. That, you could have called home anytime you wanted to. Information would have been good to have earlier. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Let's go to Doris in Kentucky. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Doris.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Doris. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just listening to the television here in the Tennessee, the Nashville market, and I guess the GOP has gone off the rocker here with the, supposedly the, prospect of Astrid Judd running. They're running TV ads against her.
I know, Karl Rove's group, they're already scared of her. Interesting, right? They're running attack ads, and she's only rumored to be running.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
So if you think if Hillary got a bad, poor Ashley, I mean, they're just, taking blows. Of course, the big rumor is like she might like Obama. That is definitely a bad thing.
Doris, you know what I think her ad should be is just a picture of her and Mitch McConnell.
Side by side.
Who would you rather look at for the next 4 years?
Hilarious.
Six years.
Thank you. 6 years.
Senate is 6 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Sure.
All right.
The 60-second spot hits Judd on several levels, including her commitment to President Obama and Obamacare. Eek.
Shocking.
Eek. The time she called Tennessee home. Oh, my God. Her self-defined radical nature and a quote from her own grandmother calling her a Hollywood liberal. Oh, my God. The voiceover at the end sums it up saying, Ashley Judd. An Obama-following radical Hollywood liberal who's right at home here in Tennessee. Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Clever, Karl Rove. Maybe that'll be another race you pour millions of dollars into.
Yeah.
Which McConnell loses.
Yeah.
Don't you love this fight between the Tea Party and the Karl Rove GOP establishment?
Yes.
And I keep telling you, stop fighting. You're all losers. You are all equally losers. Tea Party crazies and the Republican establishment candidates. Losers, losers, losers. Let's go to George in Gary, Indiana. Hi, George.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just wanted to make a comment about the all this brouhaha over targeted drone strikes. I know there's some people on our side who decry that and say it's bad, but compared to B-16 bombers dropping bombs on thousands of innocent people, I think it's okay. The one thing that bugs me, though, in the Tribune this morning, the Chicago Tribune, that right-wing rag, and on CBS Morning Poop, you have somebody who, his name is Juan Zuarte. He's presented as a foreign policy expert. He's a former blowhard from the Bush administration, decrying the hypocrisy of Obama to oppose torture and yet approve drone strikes. They're now equating it in the right-wing world that torture is the same as targeted drone strikes. And it's
it's not.
It made my head want to explode.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, there is no reality base in this whole thing. And then later on, this other right-wing mutt, who is their political director, John Dickerson, who is also from the Bush administration, is talking about the Karl Rove attacks on Ashley Judd as though that's just politics and we can expect more of this. Now, look, I just want to say for the record that if CBS calls this original reporting, I call it original toilet paper.
Ah,
and that's,
all right.
That's as nice as I can be. Oh. Thanks a lot for doing
right.
what you do,
all
girl.
Right.
Keep up the good
all
work.
All right, thank you. The girl.
I think you
like it when you call me girl.
Conflating a B-52 with an F-16.
Yeah.
Very different aircraft.
But right.
Really
I hate when
point.
That happens. Okay. The president's carny talking about this very subject.
He thinks that it is legitimate to ask questions about how we prosecute the war against al-Qaeda.
Yeah. I think he does make a point, though. Anyone from the Bush administration needs to hush now. Big bag of shush for you. Because as somebody was talking about yesterday, not only was Iraq a complete illegal and unnecessary war based on lies in the first place, they took out a whole city blocks because they thought Saddam might be there. I mean, that's, you know, hardly a targeted, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. And they downplayed the civilian deaths.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's what you remember. We used to talk about that all the time in the Bush administration. That's what offended me so much. They only talked about American deaths.
Uh-huh.
As if, and we don't even know, do we, Jim?
No.
The Lancet said 100,000 at some point.
And that was early on in the
right.
war. It's probably millions.
Right, right. And I'm going, well, so that doesn't matter, you know? I mean, it's, anyway. Representative Mike Rogers, Republican Michigan.
We do have oversight into it. I knew about those operations, the targeting sets, all of that leading up to it, including very, very shortly thereafter. And I review all of the airstrikes that we use under this title of the law.
All right, so John Brennan will face questioning about the drone program, obviously. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the Senate Armed Services Committee delayed a vote on Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense. Republicans demanded more information.
Sure, he's too radical.
Yes, Jim, because they're, as we know, they're troubled. They're very troubled. They're troubled by a lot of troubling things about this troubling nomination.
Things that happen in his vicinity that he had nothing to do with.
If they're troubled about that, I'd hate to think what they think about this show.
Right? Very troubling. Just a whole pile of trouble.
Wow.
3 hours of trouble a morning. Oof. Wow. They would continually make that face that a slow loris makes when eating a rice ball.
Go to your Facebook page.
Is this allowed on the radio? What? Check this out. Some Republicans have demanded the text of speeches by Hagel that the nominee said are not available because he spoke extemporaneously. So let me get this straight. We need a record of anything he's ever said ever.
Ever.
In the history of ever. Even extemporaneously.
Yes. Even past the gravy at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Mrs. Hagel's got some explaining to do.
There must be some recordings of him speaking his first words.
Yes.
Goo goo gaga. What did you mean
what
by that?
What does that mean? That's something that's anti-Israel, isn't it?
It sounded like Arabic to me.
Aha! Aha!
Jacques!
Ah, that's French!
Others have said, I love this. Others have said, as I've mentioned, they are awaiting results of a 2007 sexual harassment claim, hang on, against a former member of Hagel's staff by another member of his staff. No indication Hagel involved in any way. That is troubling. That is troubling.
The fact that there is no indication is an indication that there's trouble.
Yes.
Indicated
the fact that he was not involved.
Indication
right.
In any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Again, there was malfeasance in his vicinity.
Yeah. See, this is what I was saying. That I could never be confirmed for anything ever. Because whenever I have a party at my house and invite you guys, what is the point of the party? Sexual harassment.
Sure.
I think when you show up, you know you're asking for it.
You might as well be bent over a pinball machine. You know,
you want it. You all show up wearing tight clothes.
You got to get a pinball machine for the basement.
That's you really should. Just for the comedy factor
just
alone.
Just for a new apology to either Jackie Schechner or Melissa Fitzgerald.
Exactly. Well, she was just provocatively bent over a pinball machine. Well, I mean.
What was I supposed to do?
Hey, here's a Melissa Fitzgerald fun fact. You want to hear this?
Sure.
She was trying to decide. That's her stripper name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we reviewed that she has a stripper pole in her apartment,
but
she tried to choose between that and an air hockey game.
Oh, wow.
And I said, are you sure you're not bi?
I think she made the right choice.
She likes air hockey. She was trying to decide between an air hockey, but that's almost like a pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still the thing that you would bend over. All right. Whatever. All right. We have lots to get to on the big show. Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
This hour, and then Representative Adam Schiff, who is the Democrat of right there.
Yes, right across.
Of, like, right here.
Right here.
Literally in Burbank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. All right. we'll join us to talk about his L.A. Times op-ed on gun control, which is awesome.
Yep.
And much more as we roll along on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Oh, I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ooh, we still have Sherry Berry's gift card to give away.
What?
Best caller this morning. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com. You could have hit. It's like someone hit me with a bag of glass when I saw the Chicago box office numbers.
Wow.
Sexy Liberal just went on sale on Friday for the April 13th Sexy Liberal show, and I'm telling you, VIP's gone. Everything else going fast.
My sweet home, Chicago.
Hey, Chicago. You say twice wasn't enough?
15 is my limit.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making a return visit to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Witness the ecclesiastical mook, John Fugelsang. Hilarious heartthrob Hal Sparks, and Catholic girl gone wild Stephanie Miller as they reunite for another night of inspired comedy.
We're putting the band back together. Yep. We're on a mission from God.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked a number one comedy album and its own TV documentary. It's more fun than a bag of Vipers.
We're just packaging what the kids want.
That's the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
Now, who can argue with that?
Sweet Home Chicago is about to get more sugar from Mama.
Sweet Home Chicago.
Correction, that's a tea bag of Vipers. Right,
yeah,
there. That's what
there
that
you
is.
Go. There you go. Okay. All right, getting very excited. All right. I have to do the story now. You sent the Gawker story. Dog food has to be people food now?
That's right.
Because, when Max disappears for a second on the hike, like yesterday.
Oh.
Then he comes back.
And he's eaten something gross. Why does he do that?
I don't... It's like
he's a
coyote
dog.
Poop or something.
That's and why he should be on leash.
Yeah, and then you let him lick your face.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
why you,
that's how you find out.
Oh,
that's how you got sick.
Yes. What could it
French
be?
French kissing.
That's why I don't understand. I don't understand dog food marketing. Do you know what dogs will eat? I mean, seriously.
Eye sockets and a holes.
Right.
No, that's cat food.
Oh.
This fun fact's from the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Apparently, when Brian Saunders, a 28-year-old electrician in Tenafly, New Jersey, got a puppy 4 years ago, he researched pet foods online before choosing a brand whose main ingredients include venison, bison, and berries.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make the best choice for Tyson. So he decided on Taste of the Wild dog food. If I can't eat the ingredients, I won't feed them to my dog. They ought to make coyote poop dog food. That's what they really ought to. Our friend Elaine Boozler used to do that joke about, you know, the talking about the taste of dog treats. I don't know. I'll ask him if he likes it. He's in the backyard eating his own.
Yeah.
Oh, he has such highbrow taste.
You're a dog person. Have you ever just tasted it just to see what it tasted like? Dog food?
I thought you meant dog poop.
No, not dog poop. Dog food.
I've never been that drunk.
Have you
brownies. Oh.
Have you ever tasted it?
Oh, no, I have not.
Okay.
Dog biscuit?
Yeah.
All right.
Elsewhere
in the animal.
In cheese.
Elsewhere in the animal world. Oh, someone sends me the news. Perhaps it's not too late for me after all. Albatross named Wisdom astounds scientists by producing a chicken egg 62.
Wow.
Time for you to do my eggs. There you go. All right.
Although it made me cough. Hold on.
Okay, sorry. She is the world's oldest known living wild bird at age 62. She just produced a healthy chick that hatched Sunday.
Amazing.
Right?
Okay, then.
Would you like some albatross fun facts? Since we opened the show with a slow loris eating a rice ball.
Which is still up on your Facebook page. You have to check it out.
Which does look a lot like Mitt Romney on election night.
Because at the beginning, he's holding a fork. And it's really cute.
What happened? He's just continually surprised by the rice ball, which we find totes adorbs.
Yeah.
Every bite, it's like it just appeared in his hand by magic. And it's still there. There it is again.
Here it is.
Look. Okay. It's like how women here in Hollywood look after facelifts. It's Tuesday. It was just Monday. It's Wednesday. Oh, my God.
It's every cast.
Hi, it's you again.
Every cast member of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
I'm always so surprised to see you. I always am. Albatross is Jim Mate for Life.
Mm-hmm.
Suggesting that Wisdom is a little bit of a cougar. She probably had to find a new younger mate probably twice down the line. Because, she's like the Courtney Cox of albatrosses.
Or Demi Moore.
And probably a couple of her husbands were albatross around her neck. My point is... They work at their relationship, first by getting their groove on. They dance together, said a retired senior scientist.
Oh. Hmm.
The two the birds face each other, eye to eye, beak to beak. This sounds like a Beyonce routine. And do a two-step up and down, stretching their long wings wide and craning their necks. Slut. Look at her. Slut. Look at that.
Slut! She's a slut!
Even at 62.
Look at her. 62. Slut.
Just
I can like kick.
An old,
I can kick.
I can fly, sort of.
I'm 62.
It's like a dirty old French whore.
Yeah.
Come on. I got one more chick in me. Okay.
An over-the-hill showgirl just leaning up against the saloon door. One leg up.
One albatross. Yeah.
You want it?
Come on.
Come on.
Come get it.
Are you ready for this jelly?
Come and get it while it's hot. Apparently, somebody was ready for that jelly.
Apparently. Don't bother putting a ring on it.
Oh. Don't bother.
But albatross is made for
life.
I'm
done with romance. Just whenever you're ready, stick it in. I'm making myself cough.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. We used to have that.
We used to have that.
And then
I don't
we thought
have
it was
anymore.
Too dirty, but I know I just said it.
Yeah.
We don't even know what it's from. Okay. Did you see the new radio ad? Oh, my gosh. I want to move to Texas.
Really?
How can you see a radio ad?
It says
I've heard it.
Okay.
To Rick Perry? Who wouldn't want to go just to be closer to Rick Perry? He urges California businesses to relocate to Texas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how?
To avoid high taxes and regulations and stuff like that.
Okay.
Governor Jerry Brown doubted a few tricks from politicians like Perry would convince businesses to leave the Golden State.
Right.
By the way, Brown last month also mentioned that Texas has the highest percentage of workers earning minimum wage.
Yep.
So if you
want to
go get a job at
Fantastic.
Whataburger, go.
What a burger, not Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Yeah.
Whataburger.
Whataburger. You keep saying Whataburger.
I thought it was Whataburger.
No. Why would anybody eat a Whataburger?
Someone called a Whataburger.
That's gross.
What is wrong with me? I need to go eat a rice ball.
It's Whataburger. You know, that sort of thing.
What a rice ball.
All right. I'm done with that story.
All right.
Okay. The boner. Do they have some brand new ideas on the economy, Republicans? Okay.
At some point, Washington has to deal with its spending problem.
Oh, shut up.
Now, I've watched them kick this can down the road for 22 years that I've been here.
Them?
I've had enough of it.
Yeah.
Them? What do you mean them?
Enough of them doing all that stuff
them.
That they do.
Oh, wonder.
Like the government.
Who's been in charge around here?
Oh, wait, it was me.
Which orange hole's been in charge around here? Kicking the can down the road.
By spending problem, it means Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, all the stuff people want that we've paid into our entire working lives. So,
which would mean technically we are entitled to it because it would be our money in the first place. On Capitol Hill this week, Republicans committed themselves to passing a budget that balances the budget within 10 years via spending cuts alone, which in effect will require slashing federal programs from health care to transportation to border security to scientific research even more deeply than they proposed in their previous budget.
Let's bring on another Great Depression. Good
Same
plan.
Crappy ideas, only even worse.
Morons.
Meanwhile, they've never seriously grappled with the harm of axing the federal government would cause the economy and remain unmoved Tuesday when the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, in its annual outlook, warned that austerity measures already on the books will snuff out most of the country's economic potential this year.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, Cantor delivered his remarks. We played some yesterday. GOP leaders simultaneously denounced Obama's proposal to pay down the sequester's deep spending cuts with a mix of more gradual cuts and higher taxes on wealthy interests. For them, the sequester, all $1.2 trillion worth, can only be paid down with cuts to other programs. No new revenue, no matter the source, according to Representative Tom Cole, Republican of Oklahoma.
Great plan. Yeah.
I believe this is Talking Points Memo sums up. The GOP's real immediate priorities are thus no different than they were before the election.
That's right.
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was. Oh, thank you for doing that for our television audience.
Yeah. Where's my big suit?
Totally lost on the radio audience. But I appreciate your choreography.
Yeah, you know.
That was super. Thanks for asking. Okay. Tim in Alabama.
Yes, I do look cute in this hat.
You do. Hello, Tim in Alabama. Hi, Tim.
Hey, love your show.
Thanks.
It's really nice to get something that you actually get real good news.
Yes.
I just want to make a comment on the Obamacare. Just from somebody that's dealt with insurance over the years, and I have faced where they were going to, you know, cancel my wife because she had a pre-existing condition.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, they were going to cancel her as a person. You mean as a... customer.
Oh, yeah. They're saying that, no, you cannot, you can't have any care for at least the first 2 years. And then it's kind of a long story. I mean, she was very, very sick. It was a genetic thing. So, but they just decided that they weren't, you know, going to cancel her. But I fought it. I fought the insurance company. You can say I'm kind of a professional at it. But the point I wanted to make is that it just seems to me, I've read a lot of the healthcare, you know, law, and there's so much more stuff in there that people don't know about, not just pre-existing, not just, you know, for a kid can be insured from his parents going to college, and there's so much more to it, mm-hmm. and it just seems like they don't give out enough information. Obama seems to have a problem getting enough information out, I mean, his administration.
Well, you know, Tim, I have heard people say that. I think that, you know, you're right. But Jackie always says that the messaging may have been the problem because there is a lot of good stuff in there. And once it starts to kick in, I think more and more people are going to see that. But again, you know, it can't be said enough because there's been so much misinformation put out there by the right wing. It can't be said enough that we got to keep talking about it and mm-hmm. explaining it.
Yeah, like the idea of death panels, the real death panels where the insurance companies are denying people care.
Right.
Because she might get sick someday. How are we going to make money off of you?
Right. What's the point of that?
Sheesh.
Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, I did my own thing in the 70s by not going to discos.
What's your thing? 22 minutes after the hour.
Even the Stones had a disco song.
Well-ish. It was
Gordon.
A blues song with a, you know, 4/4 beat. Anyway, it's
right.
Not important right now.
Gordon is a helper. We did the story of the 62-year-old Albatross Wisdom who just gave birth.
Yes.
Steph, if Wisdom can do it, so can you. Can I be your David Crosby? I've got a clean turkey. Oh.
How
actually,
much
I know David Crosby, so David Crosby could be my David Crosby. Sure. But thank you, Gordon. And also, I need that other thing. A girlfriend.
No.
Oh, I guess I could be.
You don't.
I could be a single albatross.
All the single albatrosses.
With a chick. Okay. When
I don't think you do
all
well
the
as a single
albatrosses.
Yeah.
You
wouldn't do well as a single parent.
Where do you put a
you
ring
need
on an albatross?
Seriously.
I need a parent.
Well, because after
I need someone to parent me and
after 5 o'clock, you're pretty much useless.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Mommy's had her medicine.
4:59 and 58
after
seconds. Bonk. Hit the wall.
Couldn't a kid understand that? Mommy is a great mommy until 5 o'clock. You're on your own. And your job is to peel mommy off the heating grate.
Good. It'll be their job. My job, no.
Make
more.
Make another run to the liquor barn. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Shelly in Dallas. Hi, Shelly.
Hey, Stephanie. I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
I know I'm kind of stepping away from the topic of drones and healthcare insurance, but I have a question about... Over here in Dallas, a huge conversation is taking place about doomsday and the government intentionally collapsing our economy, you know, making the dollar bill worthless. And it's
that
really
sounds
hard.
That sounds like a party in Dallas.
It sure does. It is a doomsday party. And, you know, that the Homeland Security is stepping in, you know, with buying up arms and those FEMA trailers, making those camps where you never get to leave because
right.
you never get charged with anything, you know, that indefinite kind of stuff. But it is a very large conversation taking place. And I'm very concerned because, you know, you're getting half information from people.
George,
I have no idea
right.
who they are or where they're getting this from.
George W. And, Bush lives in Dallas, doesn't he?
He is the face of the axis of evil, if there ever was one.
Well, I'm just saying, if we survived his presidency, I'd say doomsday is come and gone already. But all right with the FEMA camps. Okay. Tara in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tara.
Hi, this is Stephanie. My dogs say hi to you and the gang.
Hi. Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about mental health issues and gun control.
Uh-huh.
My husband and I are, well, my husband is a long-time gun owner and hunter. I'm have bipolar disorder, and I've never been dangerous, nor are most of my friends who are in the same boat ever been dangerous, but I still believe in mental health background checks, better funding for mental health. Here in California, we've been gutted. We had a great mental health system, and now it's not.
Right.
I really believe the background checks, and also former member of the NRA, both of us, don't agree with having no checks and balances on guns.
Right. Well, most people don't. That's why I don't know. The NRA literally speaks for nobody at this point. I mean, that's. I was just reading this poll. The NRA has limited sway over the American electorate, again, as we've said. Don't be afeard. 39% they would be less likely to support a candidate who earned an endorsement from the NRA. Just 26% of voters said they'd be more likely to back such a candidate. 32% the endorsement wouldn't make any difference on their vote. So why are
politicians so afraid of the NRA? That makes no sense.
I don't know.
Is it because of money and donations?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, probably more related to Citizens United than it is actual gun issues, ironically. Yeah. Ron in Indiana. Hi, Ron.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, I've been listening to your conversation about the drone strikes, and you know they're horrible, and there's people getting killed. But my concern is, and what I'd sort of like to hear some talk about is what are we doing as a government, as a country, when this technology eventually gets into their hands and they start dropping them on us? Because, you know, that's probably going to happen.
Who's they?
Whoever we're dropping them on, the terrorists, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I would believe that eventually that's going to happen here, just like the planes flying.
You mean another country getting drones and flying them here?
Yeah, in other words, what are we doing? You know, look, this technology, I'm sure we already have people been contacted about selling it to them.
But what I don't understand your point, so we should not use the technology because...
They still show up on radar. I mean, the Air Force would be able to find them.
I was just going to say, I don't...
We have radar than Afghanistan.
Somebody made that point yesterday. They were like, what if Mexico decides to do it for drugs?
There's something they had since World War II called IFF, Identify Friend or Foe,
where you
can tell just by the signal being emitted whether it's ours or somebody else's.
I'm not a military expert. I'm kind of guessing that Mexico would probably not... decide to send drones into the U.S. I'm guessing that wouldn't end well for them. But
I don't know that they have drones.
I have faith in the Air Force to find enemy drones and shoot them down handily.
Yeah. All right. Marco.
Rubio.
He'll be delivering the Republican response to the President's State of the Union next week in both English and Spanish.
Qué bueno.
Okay.
Sí. Ay, qué rico.
Okay, here he is.
You know, there's a lot of optimism about this announcement last week of some principles, but I think reality's begun to set in as to how difficult it's going to be to accomplish this, but not just in the House, but particularly and potentially in the Senate.
Es muy difícil.
Thank you. You're doing both versions for
us. Este lunes.
Okay. You know, the thing is we were talking to Representative Gutierrez yesterday. I know I said it right?
Shocked.
Dios mío.
I Dios mío.
Right. At any rate, but he was saying, yes, I mean, we've been saying, like, I don't care why they're at the table, but good. It obviously some of them are admitting it. Like right. McCain, like, it's politics. Okay, we lost. But at any rate, the boner.
I want to do everything I can to foster this continuing conversation in a bipartisan fashion to deal with what is a very difficult issue in our country. But it's certainly worthy of consideration.
He was talking about some parts of the DREAM Act after Eric Cantor has said we should start with the kids. I wonder if it's related to this. A new Washington Post ABC News poll finds 55% back a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants. I wonder if it could be political reality starting to set in. Funny that. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Killed small town America. Cell phones, texting, blogs, and
Stephanie Miller.
That's who.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, these stories about Republican disarray, they just make me happy. Is it wrong?
No, it's not wrong at all.
Joe Walsh, not that guy. The weed from Illinois.
Yep.
Tea party.
Deadbeat dad.
Huh?
Deadbeat
right.
dad.
Deadbeat dad. Right. Stick from Illinois who got defeated in the last step.
Handily,
yes.
Joe Walsh, a forming super PAC to fight Carl Ward's super PAC.
Wow. That's
boys,
super.
Boys, don't
Thanks
fight.
For
you're,
asking.
Both, you're both losers and really
super.
Evil. former representative, former, did I say former?
Mm-hmm.
Representative Joe Walsh, Republican, douche nozzle, Illinois. Announced Tuesday he's forming a super PAC to, quote, support freedom-loving conservative alternatives and to fight back against the Karl Rove initiative to keep unelectable Tea Partiers from winning primaries. Go, go,
fight,
go!
Fight!
Push each other, shove each other into the bleachers! Yes! He said if we'd listened to Karl Rove in 2010, there would never have been a Congressman Joe Walsh. So it's really all about him.
Oh, wow. He's speaking about himself in the third person.
Right.
Isn't that
Rove
grandiose?
Thought openly Tea Party candidates like Walsh couldn't win, wrote Walsh. Who lost his seat in 2012 to Tammy Duckworth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, who can't agree on that, that Les Joe Walsh is a horrible... Oh, I know, the voters of Illinois.
Yeah.
Tea Party groups like FreedomWorks, it called Karl Rove's move Orwellian and rather dramatically said in a statement, the Empire is striking back.
What?
Fight!
What?
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 They're all hard of hearing Darth Vaders now. Just, what? Carl Rove said what?
What?
Joe Walsh said what? Okay. Let's go to Matt in Chicago. Hi, Matt. Hi, Matt.
Good morning. Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
Hey, and to the Mooks and the cast of thousands that is Jim Ward.
thanks.
Listen, real quick, I want to be the official freelance pedicurist and foot masseuse at large of the Stephanie Miller
mm-hmm.
Show.
Oh, my goodness.
I should be a masseuse.
But anyway... The reason I called is that I don't know if you know this, but they're passing it through the House, and then it goes to the Senate, and the vote will be on Valentine's Day for same-sex marriage in the state of Illinois, and our befuddling governor says he will sign it.
Oh, yay.
Wow.
Yay. Oh, you can't vote no against love on Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. That's my thought.
Right.
And by the way, you're coming to Chicago. I wish I'd got one of those VIP seats because I figure if it's going to be cold, probably can wear your open-toe shoes. Be still my beating heart.
Still get one of those tickets. Hurry. Go get it. Get it. Get it.
Although April, it can be changeable
I'll,
there.
I grew up everyone in the first several rows anyway. I'll get you. Don't worry. Just get a ticket. I love you.
Oh, I love it. I love, it. I love right. you, Mama.
Love you too, baby.
Aww.
Okay. Oh, precious pumpkin. Oh, by the way, speaking of the whole fight. Let's see. Every Democrat holds a big lead over Steve King in every possible Iowa Senate race.
Yes.
Team that he. Steve King is the overwhelming favorite of Iowa Republicans to be their Senate candidate next year and trails every Democratic candidate.
That's stunning.
Tested.
Stunning. So stunning.
By at least 7 points, according to a new PPP poll.
PPP.
overall.
God, really?
Imagine, do we get more immature as we get older?
I think we do.
I'm not.
M2. Shut
stupid,
up.
Stupid.
You shut up.
You shut up, stupids. That's our impression of the Republican Party. Yeah. That's exactly what the Donald Trump-Bobby Jindal fight was.
Yeah, exactly.
You're stupid for calling Republican stupid. Stupid, you're the
you're
stupid.
Stupid
one.
It's You're usually stupid.
Stupid. Bill, you're stupid and Bill Maher's stupid.
Then the other one looked at the other like a Loris.
Stupid.
Yeah, but you lost money on a casino. That's stupid.
Overall,
stupid is a stupid does.
All right. Once again, don't fight, boys. You're all stupid, all of you, each and every one of you. Okay. Overall, Democrats appear to be start out slightly favored to replace Tom Harkin. That's the race there in Iowa. And if a hard conservative, they're calling him, like King, wins the nomination, they will start out with a pretty substantial advantage. But you keep fighting, boys. Fight. Okay, let's go to Kelly in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Hello.
I have an interesting concept of what possibly the NRA could do with all this money that they're sitting on.
What's that?
I would like to see them put it to good use. If they're tired of people nagging them about their gun control, how about using that money to do something positive to get that guns out of the wrong hands and encourage, like, education? Go around to schools. Get all these people in the NRA. Go to schools and talk to the kids who are... I live near Columbus, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and every morning I wake up and I turn on the news and there was at least one shooting overnight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is done by kids who have nothing better to do, better to do than to go around and mug people, rob people. Columbus is turning into a real hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid to go out. I don't even live in Columbus anymore, and I live in the middle of nowhere. I live in a horse pasture and a trailer.
Okay. Mm.
And I'm afraid to go out, and it's not because of the hunters, but these kids are coming out into the country now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the NRA needs to put their money to a good use and help get the guns out of the gangs.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, I agree. And you know what? Adam Schiff wrote a great piece. I didn't realize it was him that wrote it in the L.A. Times.
Yeah.
But we're going to have him on next hour. But it's talking about that. It really is stunning, some of the stuff you don't even realize, that we gave gun manufacturers complete, you know, what do you call it?
Carte blanche.
Right. You cannot sue gun makers. And there was a case he's talking about right here where a gun dealer knowingly sold guns to a straw, you know, this straw dealer, which
yep.
they then resold them to this guy, gang member, that can never have passed a background check,
mm-hmm.
and they get off, you know, scot-free.
Of course, according to the NRA, there is no such thing as the wrong hands.
Yeah.
Even after they kill somebody, it's...
yes, right.
Yeah.
Even gang members have the right to defend themselves.
Sure, because exercising their Second Amendment rights.
Right. Though they don't want the terrorist watch list, even that's not a good enough
reason
to not be able to have a gun. That's fine. Hey, speaking of Tea Party, Scott Brown reportedly in talks to become a Fox News contributor. The Senatorfold, according to Politico. In with
the Senator.
Right, out with the dick, in with the Dick Morris.
Yes,
in with the Senatorfold.
The pink pants.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Oh, just in time for this. Poll, trust in Fox News falls to a new low.
Oh,
dear. They're trying to shore up their credibility. See, got rid of the Palin and the Dick Morris.
Mm.
Trust in Fox News has fallen to a new low in the four-year history of PPP. Again, PPP polls. Polling of
yes.
the TV news. 41% of respondents trust the network. 46% do not. In 2010, 49% trusted Fox. 37% did not. And the people that trust them still, after they were wrong about everything ever, you're a little bit dopey. Okay. John in Buffalo. Hi, John. Welcome. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I have a problem with the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment being amended by a memo from the DOJ. That's unconscionable. And if they can do that, why can't we change the Second Amendment the same way?
Ah, you're talking about the drone, I take it, the drone issue.
I am.
Yeah. Why can't we change the Second Amendment in what way?
No, not the Second Amendment.
No, he was saying, why can't you change the Second Amendment?
With the same type of memo from the DOJ, which is unconscionable.
Okay.
The Department of Justice can amend the Constitution and remove the Due Process Clause effectively.
Hmm.
If they can do that, then they can change the Second.
I see your point.
Yeah, I see. Right. And then the right way would go berserk, of course, if you touch their Second Amendment.
Oh, kind of like some people are going berserk over the DOJ memo about the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
You know.
Henry in Texas. Hi, Henry.
How you doing, Seth?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you get a lot of people be calling in to these shows talking about, you know, the constitutionality of drone strikes against American citizens overseas and things of that nature.
Right.
But the thing that people keep forgetting, once you're out in the international waters, your constitutional right don't exist anymore. It's just like if you was in the United States and went over the border into Canada. You're under Canada law, not the United States law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if those countries say it's okay to have drone strikes within their confinement, and they do it, and they strike an American citizen that's there to make plans against America, either way it goes, you're going to be a dead person anyway, because when you get back, he could also get tried for treason and that carries a death penalty.
Yeah. I mean, Henry, somebody said this yesterday. What if I sell cellular service to people in Afghanistan? You know, my thought is, why don't you do something else for a living? That's all I'm thinking, right? I mean, it's...
No, understand what you're saying.
Yeah, someone's like, you know, yesterday said, well, if you opened a hot dog cart in Dresden in 1945, like, you know, I'm just saying.
And you knowingly sell a hot dog to.
Right, to a known terrorist.
Right.
But,
of course
but the thing is, if you're doing things intentionally and you know you have sanctions against those people and you're the host country, the thing is, you already got people should be prosecuted anyway, like the Koch brothers, because they still selling war products and things like that to Iranians.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
But nobody's doing nothing about it, but they kind of do it for a third-party dummy corporation, according to the new investigating news report,
mm-hmm.
and they're still getting away with it. But my thing is, you know, justice got to be fair for everybody, not just for somebody.
Yep, that's right, that's right. You know what? You get a $50 Sherry's Berries gift card just for that.
Wow.
Right? What do you think about that? Hold on, Kenry. Let's get your info, okay?
I already love you to death now because I really think you look really hot with that baseball cap on your show.
Really now? So, just remember I gave you those berries before you said that. All right, hang on. It's a $50 Sherry's Berries gift card. They're huge. They really are as big as a baby's fist, and they're unbelievable. You can go to berries.com, click on the mic, type in the code Stephanie, and get your beloved some Sherry's Berries for Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Right.
They're really, really good.
It's a wow gift.
It's the decorative swizzle that gets me every time.
It'll make her sound like Christopher Walken. She'll say,
wow.
Okay.
I got a strawberry. Never mind. I can't.
Yeah, don't. No, don't.
I wanted these even more than a watch. Okay. 40.
Can you put a watch in a baby's fist?
You know what? They're as big as cowbells.
There you go. That's wow. Thank you.
Right? Chocolate-covered cowbells.
Don't go anywhere near Pulp Fiction with Christopher Walken, please.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She listens to right-wing wacko radio, so you don't have to anymore. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate, to talk about the Boy Scouts, coming up live in studio here next hour. And Adam Schiff, congressman from right there in Burbank. I can point to it.
Right out the window.
Right
yes.
there. From right out the window. He's had with a great piece on the gun manufacturers having complete, no responsibility in any kind of lawsuits for anything that happens.
That's right.
Great stuff. So we'll talk to him about that. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jim in Florida. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I have a lot of friends down here in Florida who are Hispanic, and they're not all that thrilled with Marco Rubio.
Right.
His popularity is down in the Miami-Dade area with the Cuban immigrants whose parents fled Castro. And, you know, they are Republicans only because they hate Kennedy for getting smart about the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah. No, well, I know. It's typical Republican. It was like their convention. It was, United Colors of Benetton. It's like human props.
Yes.
Look, we have one of those. Look.
And please stop encouraging the teabags to not fight with the Rover boys. Because
oh, no, I want them to fight.
Fight each other, the less we have to.
Right, exactly. No, I want them to fight. Fight. Don't take that from him. Don't be weenies. Yeah.
The more they fight, the more organized Democrats look. And that's hard to do.
Yeah, they accomplished something historic.
Kennedy bailed on the Bay of Pigs thing because he found out too late that the whole thing was a scam. That, in fact, the U.S. Navy was waiting on the other side of the horizon to have like a big Pearl Harbor-style attack on Cuba, which Kennedy knew would start World War III, which is why he...
Thank you, Jim. Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Jim knows everything about everything about Kennedy.
Ever.
In the history of everything, ever. Okay, you know what? The only thing that I care about in life, as you know, is that I get my Amazon packages because I...
Well, you're still going to get them on Saturdays.
Really?
Yes, it's only first-class letters that they're stopping delivery of.
Oh, thank God.
They're going to still deliver packages on Saturdays.
These new earrings? Amazon? Okay. Because I don't have to leave my house. Okay.
That's right.
Patrick Donahoe, the Postmaster General.
Since 2008, we've seen a steady decline in the use of first-class mail. People pay their bills online. It's simple. It's easy. It's free. You cannot be free.
I don't use Pony Express. I use Travis Express. You can ask
him.
Can you do something with this?
People need the post office because a lot of them get their medication, especially in rural areas.
Well, they're still going to get packages. It's only first-class letters and bills.
So far.
And junk mail that they're not going to get on Saturdays, which...
You won't be able to mail anything on Saturday?
No. Not a letter.
Well.
You mean I won't get my wine store brochure? Okay.
And making this change to our delivery schedule is a big ticket item, and it is simply too big of a cost savings to ignore.
Yeah, but the Republicans are trying to destroy the post office forever.
Well,
exactly.
I pay all of my bills online. I don't mail anything
anymore. It's not all about you.
I know,
Representative Henry Waxman, Democrat of California.
I think it had to be necessary, unfortunately, that the Postal Service can't sustain Saturday delivery.
Daryl Issa, I'm not sure how he will get his mail-order steroids, but what?
This is not the beginning of the end of the Post Service. This is, in fact, the beginning of the reforms that will allow the Post Office to deliver a world-class product to every point in America for an affordable price.
Hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Hmm.
Post offices will still be open on Saturdays. Just first-class mail won't be delivered.
Yeah, it's just Jim is saying it's a slippery slope to destroying government services.
But if nobody is using that service, if less and less and less people or fewer people are using that service, I mean, why have it at full strength?
Do you think Donald Trump FedExed his lawsuit to Bill Maher, or did he use a messenger?
Travis Express?
Donald Trump has made it. This is the most hilarious lawsuit ever. It really is. Donald Trump has made it clear his legal war with Bill Maher isn't just about money, it's personal. Telling TMZ, the comic crossed the line when he suggested Trump's mother banged an orangutan. He claimed he doesn't believe Bill was joking when he appeared on the Jay Leno show, because you wouldn't appear on the Jay Leno show to make jokes, of course.
No, of course not.
Right.
That's never done there.
Right. Earlier this year, he challenged Trump to prove he isn't the spawn of his mother having sex with an orangutan. Donald says he vows to defend his parents' honor, telling us what he said about my father is disgraceful. What he said about my mother, who's deceased, was in a certain way even more disgraceful.
He wasn't talking about them. He was talking about you.
It's a joke about your hair. Lighten up. That is really hilarious. What a country. Can he seriously win that lawsuit? I mean...
I wonder if Trump presents like an orangutan.
You think? He means during sex? Did you have to give me that visual?
What?
Really?
That's what orangutans are famous for. They're
like, look at this. Look at what I've got.
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that? I love my wife.
But what do you think of that? speaking of that, yikes.
What?
CBS has banned puffy genitals, bare fleshy butt curves. From the Grammy.
Puffy genitals?
In an uncomfortably erotic email brought to us by Gawker. Uh-huh. CBS Standards and Practices. These are always the best letters. I've gotten some of these.
Oh, boy.
Has issued a harshly worded email forbidding all Grammy attendees from flashing their softest, roundest parts.
Even the orangutans?
Boobies, butts, and puffy crotch skin. Like certain...
Crotch skin?
They're talking about infections or just what? Thong tight. Well, I would like some music, please.
All right.
You need that for a dry standards and practices email. Thong type.
What?
Thong type costumes are problematic, the email explains. Please be sure the genital region is adequately covered so there is no visible puppy bear skin exposure. Uncovered buttocks, bare fleshy undercurves of the buttocks, and exposed buttock crack are all banned. Ditto uncovered female breasts and exposed female breast nipples. Are there other kinds that are not breast ones? I'm unclear. Maybe I haven't seen a naked body in long enough, but is there another...
Dude nipples, maybe?
Oh, right. Okay, got it. Dude nipples are okay.
What's wrong with
female breast nipples?
Right.
No.
Right, yeah.
Right, that's what they mean.
Okay.
Bare sides or under curvature of the breast, also problematic. Oh, Jim agrees. That is...
Well,
remember last time Melissa Fitzgerald was in here? Somebody in the current control room said, does Melissa realize she's showing cleavage? And we're like, who's that a problem for?
Is that...
Jim's like...
Who's offended by that? Good.
They were just looking out for her.
I'm all good with it. Jim's all good with it. I'm sure the viewers are all good with it. Hush there in the current control room, you bunch of tight asses. Not talking to you, Courtney. You know what I'm saying. You wild child. You are... Woo! She's a bra on the chandelier kind of gal, that Courtney. All right. we just, do you think we're like, I'm just stars and bars now?
Yeah, Courtney exactly.
Just, Courtney just put up a...
color bars.
Yeah, color bars.
That's
stars
all
and bars? What?
Yeah.
That's
I meant color bars.
Color bars.
I didn't mean stars and bars.
No. Or that old-fashioned Indian head.
Yes.
I've been replaced by the Yule log.
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know when you'll feel even better? April 13th, Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, Sexy Liberal Show. Hurry. Tickets are going to be gone, I think, very soon. I love you, Chicago. Box office record, it looks like. Unbelievable. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Tickets just went on sale Friday for the April 13th Sexy Liberal. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Why, look who's here. It's Matt Brindon, the editor-in-chief of The Advocate, everybody.
Yeah.
Good morning. Hello.
We were talking off-air about that the scouts have put off this decision about, you know, letting gays in the and we were saying, I was saying why, and you said...
they've gotten a ton of petitions, a ton of calls, but I think it comes down to Mormon influence. Like, the Mormon Church has said,
I said we must always do what the Mormons say, obviously.
I'm guessing there were some behind-closed-door meetings that said the Mormons threatened the Boy Scouts. They're hugely invested in Boy Scouting.
Yeah.
Tons of churches.
I have a bad Mormon taste in my mouth already from Prop 8, flooding all their Mormon money in here. Messing with our equal rights.
I can top that. I grew up in Salt Lake City.
Oh,
wow. That's right.
All
you did.
Right. I'm out. Fine. You're so competitive.
Now, did you grow up Mormon?
I did not grow up Mormon.
Okay.
Wow.
Amongst the Mormons.
Yes.
The only place where Jews can be the Gentiles.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I knew a Jew that lived in Salt Lake City. She was the one. And then when she left, they had to replace her.
Oh, yeah, I knew her.
Yeah. You know, the gay always knows the Jew. Okay. So,
gays and the Boy Scouts, what's next? Coffee?
The slippery slope.
Yeah.
Greased with caffeine. So, Matt, what do you think? I mean, that was weird. I was actually surprised by that they made basically no decision. So they're saying May.
They're saying May. I think it comes down to a calculation that the Boy Scouts are making. Because we know that they're okay with discrimination because they've been upholding this policy for a very long time.
Right.
But I think they're making a calculation right now about whether they are going to stick with their discrimination policy and lose more corporate sponsors and then gain more church financial support,
right,
or whether they're going to end their discrimination policy and see some of those corporate sponsors come back. And because their membership has been going down for 15 years, and
right,
corporate sponsorships have been really tanking in the past few years.
Right. Did you, we were playing a lot of bites, right, Chris, from in Right Wing World, mm-hmm, hysterical right wingers over the... And we were saying for a bunch of allegedly straight men, a lot of drama queens.
Yeah.
In my opinion. A lot of
are overly invested in this.
But Rick Santorum said murder of the Boy Scouts. It's the end of civilization.
The obsession. Like, sexual orientation has never been the domain of the Boy Scouts. It's like,
right,
it's not an issue. It shouldn't be an issue for them,
right,
any more than it is for, you know.
Well, I think
we had some women who were Boy Scout troop leaders, you know, heterosexual women, and they said, well,
den mothers.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not.
They're not, you know, they're worried about preying on young boys.
Right, and they have the device system so that, you know, to prevent that sort of thing from happening.
My mom was a den mother. Just saying.
Wow.
What kind of den mother was she?
She looked spiffy in that uniform.
Okay.
Did she serve them G.D. lobster?
No.
the whole thing about family values is really interesting because one of the, you know, the recent big organizers, grassroots organizers, and this has been Jennifer Tyrell, this Ohio mom, this lesbian mom who was booted because she's lesbian.
Yeah.
And she wanted to join scouting in order to spend more time with her kids. Like, talk about family
values. What kind of family values is that?
That's the definition of it.
But you know, it seems like all of these issues, Matt, I think it's pressing on Americans' same sense of just fairness, you know, just excluding people it really is becoming, and I think the president framed it so well in his inaugural speech, it's civil rights. It's, you know, when he mentioned Stonewall in that breath, he put it in the civil rights battle that everybody recognizes from our history.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a over the past few years, there's been this general education of what it means to be LGBT, and people view us as less scary.
Right.
And now they just sort of see, you know, discrimination as un-American. Fair is fair.
Especially if they have kids. I right. You know, suggested that Malia probably had talking to
totally,
her dad.
Yeah, exactly.
That yeah, it's no big deal.
I got dad. Get
younger
over
generation
it.
Teaching older right. generations.
Dad, you're so 5 minutes ago. But, you know, I think it's you know, whether it's the issue of bullying or whatever, you go, it's, parent. I think that, like, you're right, Americans recognize basic fairness of don't mm-hmm. pick on anybody because of whatever they're perceived, why they're perceived as different, you know?
Absolutely.
So.
And scouting is just so American. It's right. like, you know, as apple pie. So just discrimination in scouting just looks and looks.
Those apples look gay to me.
Yeah. We were,
looks
didn't
less
we have
American
somebody,
all the time.
We had somebody call Jim, right? A guy, you know, you always find that, you know, somebody said, well, I don't know if it's, you know, what if it's, I can explain this to my kids. It's like, they don't
They'll
care.
They'll explain it to
they
you. Yeah. They really don't care. Yeah.
It's like, but it is. It's the older generation right. that thinks mm-hmm. somehow, you know. And I mean, I just think, don't you look forward to the day, Matthew, that we're going to go, I can't believe we were talking about this. I can't believe
yeah.
we're actually talking. This is even an issue as to, you know. I mean, that's what I said. Explain it like there's a red-haired girl that lives next door. Or there's a guy mm-hmm. that's left-handed up the streets. You know, what? Explain it however you want.
I used to think that day was decades and decades away.
Right.
It's coming faster and faster.
Right.
You know, there's an acceleration
that sounded
here.
Dirty.
I had a college roommate who was red-haired and left-handed.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But, you know, somebody was talking about historically they did discriminate against people that were left-handed.
Right.
I mean, and that's what I'm saying, that I think somebody...
Yeah, you got wrapped with the ruler
exactly.
over your hands, right, in schools?
Right.
That's right, in Catholic school.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was saying I could be forced to have straight sex. It would be the same thing as me writing with my left hand. Not very good at it. I could do it if I was forced,
yeah,
I suppose.
You at the same whacked time. With rulers in both ways, you know? Nuns smacking you with rulers.
Oh, that's kind of hot. All right, Marina in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marina.
Hey, we love you. We love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to say and echo the other gentleman's comment about Marco Rubio. I've been calling Marco Rubio's office, and I was asking his staff why they are picking on the Mexican-Americans as illegals when they have thousands of miles of unsecured Florida boundary coastline.
Right.
Where all
yeah.
of our Hispanic brothers and sisters come across night and day in little boats.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what he's doing about that.
Nah.
We are not a homogeneous group, and we do not like the Cubans because they assassinated our icons, the Kennedys. Mm-hmm. And we do not like the Republicans because Ronald Reagan declared amnesty only to break the Farmworkers Union. And there you have it.
Yeah, all right. The Marina, good points. Thank you. Matthew, on another subject, obviously, you know, marriage equality coming up at the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really it feels like a really accelerated kind of, you know, process in terms of what's been happening with gay rights, particularly since President Obama's been in. What are you feeling nervous, though, about Supreme Court, or are you feeling confident?
There's this, the Supreme Court likes to promote the idea that it doesn't listen to popular opinion. But that is,
right.
like, cannot
except
be true.
Except Scalia, who does, yeah. like, Fox News talking points.
<Yeah. laughs> I do think a lot of, and John Roberts is a young
right.
Supreme Court Chief Justice.
Right.
He is thinking about his legacy. I have to imagine. He's thinking about his legacy.
Right. And not being on the wrong side of history.
And
hopefully.
Not being, exactly.
Yeah.
And not being on the wrong side of history. I think public opinion is going to have an effect on the Supreme Court. And, you know, I'm optimistic in that sense.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what question they decide to address, whether it's going to be specific to...
Particularly after their wildly popular Citizens United decision.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and that, again, is one of Robert's legacy decisions.
Right.
He's going to it's going to be written to the history books.
Yeah.
Well, also... cautiously optimistic.
Also, John Roberts was photographed at Fire Island in that jaunty cable
that
cable
was the
sweater.
Gayest sweater yeah. I ever saw.
You remember that picture?
I have to look for
I'll
that
look,
one.
I'll show it to you.
Maybe there's a Supreme Court fashion photo spread somewhere with Scalia's inauguration hat. And
Angel is the centerfold.
And
it
Ruth
really...
Bader Ginsburg's lace.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, that.
Business.
What is Scalia doing? He's trying to play a Venetian doge from the 16th century or something?
You wanted him to have one of those big, like, you know, punting sticks so he can do the canals.
Right.
Somebody sent me a thing that, because, you know, one of our right-wing friends said that gay marriage will tear the fabric of the American whatever. And somebody said anyone would know no gay would ever harm fabric of any kind. Louisa in Miami. Hey, Louisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. This is a story of one person, but I think it makes sense. I think part of the reason Mormons are so emphatic about it is because it's sort of part of the evangelizing and converting. Because what happens is when they discriminate, they can't meet in public schools and public places anymore. So the churches are more than happy to sponsor Boy Scout groups, and then they get more kids interested in learning about Mormonism. I know one family that's how their son got into it.
Oh, interesting.
That's a recruitment technique.
Yeah, wow. Huh. So it's the Mormons that are recruiting, not the gays.
Right.
It's just,
do they have as good prizes as we do?
My toaster is lovely. And may I just thank you.
You have a black belt in indoctrination.
Exactly.
Well, the Mormons could, as they did in the, what is it, late 70s, allow African Americans into the priesthood. The Mormons could have a revelation. They could have, the burning bush or whatever.
Stop baptizing dead Jews.
Yeah, exactly. They could all of a sudden be the most pro-gay church in America.
Right.
If they just suddenly had a revelation.
It could
I'm
happen.
Hopeful for that day. I'm it hopeful could. For that day.
Sure. The words of the immortal Judy Tenuta. It could happen. Could
it happen?
All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Back with more with Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate Magazine, right here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Moving on to new business, what act of unmitigated evil shall the Republican Party undertake this week?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour, our guest live in studio because he's so handsome and romantic. It's Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate Magazine, to talk about the Scouts and marriage equality and stuff like that there. Paul in Utah, we were just talking about Mormon influence in this debate. Hi, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hi. Oh.
Hi.
You don't sound like a Paul, but okay.
No,
ahead.
I'm a Paula.
Paula. Paula.
Paula. I live in Utah, and it is definitely a recruitment for the Boy Scouts. It's a recruitment for the Mormon Church. You are required to attend at least 2 weeks a month at the Mormon Church, or you are not allowed to be in the troop. I would not allow my son to belong because we are not Mormon.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's what we were saying, is that sounds like the actual recruitment that's going on, not trying to, turn people gay, quote-unquote, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And my mother too. When my brother was young, she was also a den mother, and we lived in Kansas, but I got to attend the meetings. I was just a token girl because I was the younger sister.
Yeah. Who knows? I think it was just about not looking like you were a bad mom.
Yeah.
It was peer pressure.
Peer pressure among the moms. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have to look involved. What? Arts and crown, whatever. Yeah, I also think she faked Catholic Church. I think she oddly, once I got through Catholic Church, she's got going. She hasn't
gone. Oh, really?
She's faking it. Okay.
Is that when she started doing her yoga?
She doesn't do yoga.
No.
She just does naked handstands. That's different.
Wow. Still?
No, not anymore. No, she's 90 now, but she used to do naked headstands.
Wow.
Something about her circulation or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons I turned out the way I did. But I remember my sister's husband actually went in their room to use the bathroom because he didn't know that she was home, and she was actually doing a naked headstand against the door.
Oh!
Yeah, that was, I don't think he's ever recovered from that.
about Paula's call, I was in the Cub Scouts, and my Presbyterian church was a sponsor of the Cub Scouts in Salt Lake City. But I don't think there were any Mormons in my troop at all. They separate based on religion. And Presbyterians are big involved in scouting as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But the Presbyterian clergy has come out in favor of dropping the discrimination policy. So that's a nice thing.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
The United Church of Christ and Methodists have also said that they want to end the discrimination policy.
Yeah. I was saying that we were looking at some polling, I think it was a few months ago, and I was surprised on marriage equality that people don't realize that a lot of, a large degree of, I can't remember every specific religion, but even Catholics and a couple other religions are for marriage equality. So it's not just people in general. There's majority support in the country, but even among certain religious groups, there's majority support
sure.
I think is huge.
And a lot of Protestant denominations have been voting on this for a while, whether to bless same-sex unions, whether it's legal or not, to allow their clergy to do that. There's, right. there's been a lot of movement in a lot of progressive churches in this country.
Well, you know, I remember when I read Ted Olson's piece in Newsweek, the conservative case for gay marriage, which was so compelling. And then somebody just wrote that, again, I don't know where I read it, but the Christian case for marriage equality. And I was like, wow, this makes perfect sense. In a related story, I love Julianne Moore, and I mean that in a really gay way. And not just because she played a gay in that movie. Gay marriage is important to her, she just said. She's an avid human rights activist and sees herself as a feminist when it comes to views on equality. She said, oh, yeah, absolutely, I'm a feminist. At one point, feminist became a pejorative term. How did that happen? Yeah. Just like liberal.
That's right.
You know,
right.
It's taking those words back. If you're a feminist, you're basically saying you're a humanist. That's why the issue of gay marriage is so important to me. It's about everybody having the same shot at everything, at work, at marriage, at life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening. It's just like you said, Matt, it's people's basic.
Have you seen that movie?
Understanding of Fairness.
She wasn't all that gay in it.
No, Jim, there was a little something for both of us in that movie.
She was gay in more than one movie. She was gay in The Hours, too.
Oh, right.
She's been a longtime supporter.
That's right.
And I don't know if it's just professional or if it's, you know.
she's happily married. She's happily married to a dude.
Must you harsh my buzz?
Sorry.
I'm telling you.
Jill's good in sensible shoes, though.
So. Yes, she does.
I was telling you, this just happened to me. I have a new guy friend who's like, you know, do we have a fishing sound effect? They do that, Matthew. They do.
No,
when
I
it's
don't.
Yeah, when it's with chicks, it's always like, are you that committed to those?
I hear you're a little flexible.
How serious? How invested are you
me
in
the
this?
The other day, he's like, me and my friend, whoever think you're hot. I'm like, oh, thanks. But... No, yes, I am that kind of
You're
gay.
Serious
I'm the,
about it.
I'm the really gay gay. I'm not the porn version of, that you would like. John in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, Steph. First time caller. Thanks for letting me talk to you.
Yes, go ahead.
I was a Boy Scout one time when I think I got out just after they landed on the moon, but now I'm hearing the stuff that, you know, the gays and stuff like that going, like, into the Boy Scouts. Uh-huh. And you realize, though, that these are children that are starting to develop into taking all the merit badges and get community service and learning how to become a man. What would happen if the person got molested?
Oh, my God.
Oh, see, that's where I'm going.
Okay, you know, right. But so you're equating homosexuality with pedophilia. Do you know that the large majority of pedophiles are straight-identified men?
Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. You see where I'm going.
Right over that.
I do see where you're going with this.
That almost adds up to, like, saying the Boy Scouts of America would be liable and stuff like that if something like that ever did happen. And it would be a crying shame.
It's actually not a problem. It doesn't happen.
It's not
a problem. There have been gays and scouts all along.
Yeah.
They're just out now.
I didn't know that either. I've never seen that.
People are openly gay now in a way that they never were before.
I understand that completely. But what I'm saying is, you know, you might have liability and stuff like that, and then the traumatic experience to the child.
But it doesn't happen.
Well, then we need to disband the Catholic Church immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't even know anything. I think mine was a Presbyterian church, and, you know, it was all fun and games at that time.
I'm confused. How does letting gay boys in the Boy Scouts lead to... I'm confused.
Well, who knows? I mean, you know, not a scoutmaster, but some Boy Scouts got an attitude, and he might be straight or he might be gay and start bashing on one another. Who knows?
Right. So why don't we teach no bullying and no bashing? How about that? Shouldn't that be a Boy Scout value?
Teaching responsibility and strength of character.
See, what should probably be is the parents sign a petition or something before they go in that they're responsible for their child's actions. And then it would probably be okay. So, you know.
Wait a minute. Are you concerned about a gay boy molesting another gay boy in the Boy Scouts? Is that your point?
No, a straight boy. Assaulting a straight little boy or something like that. You know,
you don't think all gay guys are predators like that?
I don't know.
Well, they're not.
Okay.
They are not. Yeah. So, there
you know,
you go.
They're not.
Yes.
But I imagine that.
Hi, but it's always nice to hear from Wilford Brimley's grandfather.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
This is the result of the fear-mongering that happens. These are right-wing talking points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These are being regurgitated as potential problems that don't... There's no evidence for them happening.
Right.
They don't happen.
Whatever. You and your evidence and journalism over there. The Advocate. Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much.
Representative
Adam Schiff next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
that was someone I met from class.
Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, that's way too fancy a name for her. Her name should be Thud, or Oof.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, so I'm reading my paper as I do. You know I read the paper.
You read the actual paper, not on your iPad
oh,
or anything.
No,
you read the paper.
Old-timey paper. I That's love right. it. Love it. The L.A. Times every day.
You and can't get a paper cut from your computer.
Right. Well, I like the newsprint and everything because I'm old-timey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm reading this great piece, Liability, Guns, and the Law. No industry deserves the right to act with reckless disregard for the public safety. And then who do I see his book today?
Representative Adam Schiff from right here in...
Oh, I didn't even notice, wrote the... I can't believe it. I'm like, that guy's smart. Good morning, Representative Adam Schiff.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I literally read this piece and I thought this makes so much sense and now I know why.
Well, thank you.
Well, and it's parts of the gun debate that I'm not even sure people are aware of, Representative, but talk to us about this. You cite the case of, you know, David Garcia was sentenced to life in prison for the 2003 murder of rookie Burbank police officer Matthew Pavlaka.
Pavlaka.
Oh, right. So you say Garcia, a known gang member with an extensive criminal history, would not have passed a background check to buy a gun. He acquired the weapon he used to kill him from a straw purchaser, someone with no criminal record who could pass the background check and later illegally convey the weapon to someone who couldn't. So, as you say, the background check, is meant to keep the guns out of hand, killers like Garcia, but it's all too often circumvented by straw purchasers who buy large quantities of guns and resell them. And this is something I'm not even sure people were aware of, right?
It is a big problem, and it's a particular problem along our border where a lot of this straw purchasing goes to fuel the drug wars in Mexico. But it's a huge problem in the United States as well. And it looks like we're headed to a system of universal background checks, which is wonderful. I think that's very likely to pass.
Right.
But that will only be as good as our ability to enforce it. And if we continue to allow this practice where some bad actors and most of the gun dealers during the course of a year never sell a single weapon used in crime, but a small number of gun dealers sell disproportionately a huge number of crime weapons, and they are turning a blind eye to the straw purchasers, those who go and buy a dozen or two dozen or more of the same weapon. And it's clear it's not for their personal use, but they're buying them to convey them to people who can't pass the background check.
And you write here, Congressman, the family filed a lawsuit against the gun dealer who sold the guns used to shoot Matthew, arguing the dealer did not take reasonable steps to prevent the sale of firearms to the straw purchaser who likely intended to resell the weapon on the black market. In an ordinary case, you say, involving any product other than guns, the family could have gathered evidence, subpoenaed witnesses to build the case and learn more about the sale. The family suit was dismissed almost immediately thanks to special immunity Congress gave gun manufacturers, distributors, and dealers and their trade associations in 2005. Unlike any other industry, you write, the gun industry can commit negligence with impunity.
Well, unfortunately, that's exactly right. In 2005, Congress passed a law giving the gun industry very broad immunity from liability that no other industry enjoys and none deserves. The bad actors don't deserve it, and the good actors don't need it.
That's right. That's right. And you make the case, unlike the makers of chainsaws, knives, automobiles, drugs, alcohol, even cigarettes, gun manufacturers and sellers have a lesser obligation to act with reasonable care for public safety. And I think, as you say in there, of course, once again, largely because of the NRA, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think most people believe that if someone sells a legal product that's used illegally, that alone shouldn't be enough to hold them liable. And that's true. And nothing in my bill would change that. But where somebody acts negligently, where they sell dozens of weapons to the same person and they know it to be a straw purchaser, and that purchaser goes and transfers them to somebody who commits crimes with them, the gun dealer shouldn't be able to turn a blind eye to that illegal practice and get away with it.
Well, and as you take us back in history, when Congress passed the legislation, Senator Larry Craig, and when have we ever doubted his credibility?
Exactly.
I love my wife.
He was the chief sponsor of the bill, and at the time an NRA board member. He stated this bill will not prevent a single victim from obtaining relief for wrongs done to them by anyone in the gun industry. So, I mean, obviously turned out to be completely incorrect, right? In reality.
It has been. And you know, we don't know whether these lawsuits, the Pavelka families, would be successful. It does require a showing of negligence. But they can't even get the discovery they would need to know whether the dealer was acting in bad faith.
And
not that Senator Craig has ever been wrong about anything else.
Let me be clear.
Oh, come on.
I am not gay.
Now, my point is, in reality, you say several cases have been dismissed on the basis of the law, even when the gun dealers and manufacturers acted in a fashion that would qualify as negligent if it involved other products. Victims in these cases were denied the right to introduce evidence of negligence and seek justice. I mean, it really is incredible, isn't it, Representative? Why should the gun manufacturers have complete immunity of any product in the country, right?
Well, they shouldn't, and there's a good Alaska case where a gun dealer claims that he left the weapon on the counter and the person took it, but interestingly enough, left the cash for the weapon on the counter also.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And therefore didn't have to do the background check.
Wow.
Right. Coincidence, I'm sure.
Yes.
You say we need to pierce the liability shield the NRA and gun manufacturers have helped build for bad actors through this law. It's why I have introduced legislation, the Equal Access to Justice for Victims of Gun Violence Act, to ensure that victims of gun violence are allowed to have their day in court. No industry deserves the right to act with reckless disregard for the public safety. What, again, you know, I was just reading a poll this morning, Representative, about how few people the NRA influence. So, I mean, what are the chances for your bill? It just seems to me that there is an imaginary stranglehold they have on the Congress.
Well, you know, it is a imaginary in some senses. They're not as all-powerful as people think. At the same time, it's a very tough issue, I can tell you. When I was first elected in 2000, it was a race that many thought the gun issue had cost Gore the presidency. And I was invited to a panel to talk about what the gun issue was like in my race. And I mentioned that in my Southern California district, when people thought about the gun issue, it wasn't so much about self-protection or sporting, but it was rather about drive-by shootings and gang violence and someone going into a daycare center in Granada Hills and shooting kids or a schoolyard in Stockton. And then they asked one of my colleagues, a Democrat from Oklahoma, the same question. And he said, in my Oklahoma district, when people ask or talk about guns, it's also not so much about self-protection or hunting. It's about Lexington and Concord. It's about Lexington and Concord.
Wow. Ah.
And now this was the difference between two Democratic districts. So you can imagine what a broad perspective there is throughout the country, and that's what makes it so challenging.
So House Democrats today will unveil 15 proposals, right, for curbing gun violence that resemble the president's plan. And it obviously will include the ban on assault weapons. You know, it's interesting. I was reading a piece yesterday by Joan Walsh, and she said, you know, let's stop listening to the same pundits every time that say this can't be done before we even try. What is your feeling on what are some of the proposals in there?
Well, you know, I feel very much the way the president does, which is just because we can't achieve everything doesn't mean that we can afford to do nothing. And I think there's a lot of this package that we can get past. I sure hope there is, because if not now, when? I mean, if not after a grievous tragedy like we saw in Newtown, I don't know when we can do this. And I think it's important to recognize there are really two aspects to this. There's the gun violence we see every day in our streets throughout America. And then there are the injuries to the country itself that are characterized by these mass shootings in Newtown, which really just tear at the fabric of the country. And we need to attack both these problems.
Yep, absolutely. Representative, always great to talk to you and check in on all these important issues. Great piece in the LA Times. Hooray
Thank
for you.
Thank you very much.
All right, talk to you soon, Representative. There he goes. Representative Adam Schiff.
From right here.
From there.
From
right
here.
There. Here.
Right
He's
here.
Right here.
Right here.
Okay. All right, let's go to Darlene in Springfield, Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, I love your show, but you turned me into a morning couch potato.
Uh-oh.
Yay.
I want to talk about guns.
Of all the sins, I'm for sloth. I really am.
Hello?
I'm mostly supportive of sloth.
I'm big on lust, actually.
Yay! Sorry, Darlene. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I support Obama completely. I think it should go farther, and we should stop all of these conceal carry and send your own ground laws, because it's just not people that have mental health problems. We've got people out there that are hotheads.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And recently in Springfield, Illinois, we
Darlene,
had,
I'm like you. I'm a gun grabber from way back. I just wish we had a lot less guns,
yeah,
because I think you're right.
I was raised in the 50s, so...
I mean, honestly, it's not like we don't know that this is domestic disputes, suicide. It just makes it a lot easier for people. Right.
Yeah, in Springfield, Illinois, we had a person shot during a fender bender.
Wow.
You know, they're hotheads out there. Yeah. And if they're allowed to carry a gun, they're going to pull it whenever they get hot under the collar.
Yeah.
And if they're going to have concealed carry, I would just assume they put it, carry it as where I can see it so I can stay clear of these people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's just
unbelievable.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, honey. Did you say? Did you want to say something, Jim?
Oh no, no, I was just. Yeah,
just gas.
Okay. Oh, just brain fart. Okay, yeah. Fine. All right, that's fine. Hello, Ed in Chicago.
It's
you're
passed.
On.
The moment's
okay, it's passed. Hello, Ed in Chicago. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
On the show.
Thank you.
I've been involved in scouting. I was a scout as a child, and I've been a scout leader for 17 years, a den leader, and later an assistant scoutmaster. And I have three sons that are Eagle Scouts. And I
wow.
want to know, we have just as many crackpots in scouting as there are elsewhere.
Sure.
You know, I'm so happy that there's some movement to end the discrimination in the program, and I know there's a great pushback from the Mormon Church, but I think we're making progress. It's such a great, great program. My wife is also involved, and she's a sweetheart, and we, as adults, have as much fun as the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it is, after all, like, you know, somebody was saying about just, you know, being able to spend time together as a family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an incredible program.
Yeah.
And I just hope that, you know, that they're able to make the right decisions and are not bullied by the Mormons.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And congratulations on your two Eagle Scouts. You must be a good daddy.
Three, got two.
Three.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, look at you. All right, congratulations. Three Eagle Scouts.
It's a whole nest full of Eagle Scouts.
Wow, exactly.
I almost made Eagle Scout.
Really?
Yes.
I'm so sad for you. You're a little too high strung?
No, it wasn't that. It was... Everybody started to play Dungeons and Dragons in my
right.
troop, and that's when I'm like, okay, elves and swords, I'm out here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's held you back your entire life. Now look at you.
Elves and swords?
Look what you've ended up.
I know.
You could have made something of yourself.
And
could have made a panda. Could have been somebody.
And I'm this.
Now, right. Now you know what you do for a living? You put this in my box.
Yep, I do.
That's what your job is.
That's the only thing I do.
It wasn't me. It was you, Charlie. It was you all along. It was my brother, Charlie. You sure looked out for me a little bit.
It's... The elves and swords thing has been a handicap my
right?
entire life.
Oh, I'm so sorry for
oh,
you.
Boy.
You're such a sad little former husky boy.
I know.
Oh, God. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The station where the handbasket to hell leaves from. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. We got funk. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm not giving it back. 50 minutes after the hour. Hey, speaking of parties, the party is in Chicago. April 13th, sexy liberal tickets going fast. I'm up early in the morning and I'm ready to go. I got the sexy liberals on my right. There you go. I got Stephanie Miller, the Moops, and Rebecca, the number one show. Oops, for the Travis. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Macaroni, official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you. All right, hurry. Go to Ticketmaster.com, SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. You can get the link for the tickets going very, very quickly for Chicago Theater, April 13th. Only three shows, 2013. That's our Midwest show. We'll have one more West Coast show in the tent. Okay. Gary in New York. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Stephanie, you old gun grabber. Glad you're back and
Thank
feeling
you.
Better.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I'm a much healthier gun grabber. Thank you.
Listen, I'm a little concerned. Oh, by the way, I want to preface it by saying I'm a shooter and an NRA member, and I think Wayne Lapierre is a beanbag, and
Thank
he doesn't
you.
Speak for me.
Wow. That's
a beanbag.
But I'm just a little concerned. I think the message that the NRA people that I talked to were trying to get across is that they think the Second Amendment should be preserved and protected, and I think it's a very important thing. Because of the, you know, I mean, we do have in our United States Code a thing about the unorganized militia,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's still needed. I mean, can you imagine something like the Great Depression hitting us all at once? I mean, right now, with the way the violent nature of our society is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the gangsters, they're armed. They're ready to come out and take whatever we have.
Yeah,
and
I think
that we should...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish what you're saying. Sorry.
Well, I just think that, you know, for us people that wanna maybe go out and help during times of crisis that aren't called up, we should have high quality weapons. we shouldn't have slingshots and bows and arrows to protect.
Right, but there's a big, you know, leap from slingshots and bows and arrows to military assault weapons, don't you think?
No, I think
there's no difference between a sling.
Yes, there is.
All right. Well, okay. we'll just end the argument there.
If there were
that wasn't going well for him.
That kind of chaos, I want the National Guard to take care of.
Yeah. No offense.
And police. Not
I don't want a bunch of yahoos with,
with a gun.
Some guy that he's with, who's barely trained.
Some guy.
Where's some guy with a gun he can't handle? Okay. Callie in California on the same subject. Hi, Callie. Callie.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to make a very important point. You know, everyone's talking about the Second Amendment, but no one seems to have read it. The first two words point out that a well-regulated militia.
Right, right.
And specifically,
like the National Guard.
Specifically not that guy.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Right. Why don't they recognize that it should be with rules?
You know, we modified the Constitution before when we got rid of Prohibition. And I think the Second Amendment is antiquated as the Third, almost.
The Third's ridiculous, but at least if they want to stand up for the Second Amendment, stand up for the Second Amendment and let it be well-regulated as it states.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, nobody, Kelly, can reasonably say the Founding Fathers could haven't even envisioned military assault weapons in the hands of anybody that wants them. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. Tammy in Joplin, Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to tell that man that called and was bashing gays in the Scouts that he better be looking at the married pedophiles.
Thank you.
Because 25 years ago, our troop leader was a sheriff, was a pedophile, was married, and was a Mormon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. The majority of pedophiles are straight-identified men.
Just why we can't have gays in the Scouts.
Right.
Just makes sense.
Exactly.
What?
In a totally unrelated story, it's a story about straight people doing creepy things. Yeah, that guy sort of implied that all gays are just kind of vaguely oogie and should not be allowed to play in any reindeer games. I speak specifically, Jim, of proud dad Hulk Hogan.
No.
Sweet photo of daughter's legs and part of her ass.
Oh.
I don't. Is it only me that feels vaguely
how old
about the Donald Trump?
She's in her 20s.
Oh, well, okay.
The world that kind of go, look how hot my daughter is. My daughter's
Scott
rack.
Brown.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. My daughters are available, huh?
Huh?
Check them out.
Huh?
Wow.
Yes. Gawker brings us. Hulk Hogan has a well-documented history of expressing his appreciation for his daughter Brooke's physique by eyebrow-raising means, but did he take it too far recently when he tweeted a photo of her legs entitled simply Brooke's Legs?
Hmm. That's a little weird.
It's quite possible Hogan is simply proud of his daughter as he was when he retweeted a fellow who claimed to have gone deep into Brooke.
Whoa.
Okay.
Oh, my
yikes.
God.
Okay. That's... Wow.
That's gross.
He gets the parenting award.
Wow. Okay. Mary in Atlanta. But gay people are weird. Okay. Hi, Mary.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hi to everybody.
Hello.
Because of the guy that just called in when he said the gangs are well-armed, what gangs was he speaking of in particular? Because that kind of smacked of racism to me.
Yeah.
I mean, was he speaking of Crips and Bloods, or was it the KKK or
yeah.
the skinheads?
Yeah.
And then when he said, we're ready to stand up and defend the country and fight, yeah. Who is this we?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's we, Kemosabe?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Oh, by the by, John Travolta cruise ship massage lawsuit has been dropped, everybody.
Oh, thank
we
God.
We can all move along with our lives.
Whew.
His drama on the high seas is at an end. Both sides have agreed to drop the case. No reason given for the abrupt dismissal, including whether there was a settlement. Neither party was talking.
Well, Travolta did say, up your nose with a rubber hose.
No, he did not.
No?
Okay. He did not. Shirley MacLaine shocked by her daughter's dishonest memoir, she calls it. I know her. I did the Edinburgh Theatre Festival with Saatchi.
Really?
It's Shirley MacLaine's daughter, yes.
Stories back then?
I don't remember.
Was she Blanche?
No, I was the nurse in Reincarnated Desire. I don't remember what she played.
Okay.
She says her famous mother was so absent from her life, she sometimes could only connect with her on an airplane movie screen because she was a stewardess also a worked as a maid and a waitress all to pay for college.
Mm-hmm.
She said my mother was very old school regarding money and tough love. She once asked her mom for $500 to buy a used car, she says, and McLean loaned it to her with interest.
Oh,
wow.
I don't know. McLean says it's all.
Okay.
Not true. But I don't. Thank you, Jim, for bringing up my dramatic triumph of the nurse in Streetcar Named Desire. And I will close with my line. Blanche, it's time to go.
Thanks. And the crowd goes wild.
Very much. Thanks. I went on to later not become Shirley MacLaine. Instead, and this. All right.
Maybe in a previous life you were Shirley MacLaine.
I'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.